Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, this is Mark Clifton, and I'm here in beautiful Denver, Colorado, with Mark Halleck. Thank you, Mark.
Hey, yes. Hey, by the way, do you pronounce it the grown-up Colorado or Colorado?
Colorado.
Or Colorado.
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 What do you say?
I say Colorado.
Colorado. Who says Colorado?
Sometimes in the South, I hear Colorado.
Yeah, well, I'm not from the South.
No, that's true.
I'm from North
that's
Missouri and Kansas. So we're here in Denver, Colorado. Actually, we're in Inglewood. Right?
We're in Inglewood, that's
right. For those of you who are following at home on the map, you can put it there. We're in Inglewood, Colorado, in Mark's basement.
In
the basement, which is a great place to be. And we're going to talk about, well, it's a good thing to talk about, because the first thing we're going to talk about today, this is going to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Man, turn up the volume, bring in the kids, the dog. This is going to be a great event. We're
going to
talk about the stuff we've discovered in church junk rooms.
Oh, man.
And what does that mean?
Wow.
And this all came about because just this past weekend, I walked into a church junk room, was literally packed floor to ceiling with junk, right?
This was just at a random church you were at.
Oh, it's a church I'm working at.
Okay,
it's
church you're working at.
In Raytown. And
okay.
It was a large room. I mean, probably literally 20 by,
wow.
by 18, 20 by 30.
Huge.
Like a large room filled with junk. And in it was a really nice Rogers organ from maybe the 1980s, 1990s even. A really nice church organ. Now, I know sometimes church organs are like, I don't know, somebody picked up a Hammond organ someplace or a Thomas organ or whatever, and it's like a residential organ. This thing was nice. And it was all taken apart, and it was just stacked in the junk room, had some children's equipment on it. You couldn't even quite see all of it. I put some pictures on Facebook and Twitter about it, and it made me think, you know, at one time, they went to a lot of effort wow. to buy that organ. They had to look around. They had to probably get organ companies to come and give them some prices. They had to, whoever was their organist had, and I'm sure they were really excited the day they got it, and how many times that organ was used for gathered worship, mm-hmm. for funerals, for weddings,
yeah.
for all kinds of things, and I'm thinking, why take it out?
Yeah.
It is so much easier to remove one of those things and ever put it back together and put
wow.
it back in there.
That's so
and why do you have to, you know, they didn't really need the stage area because the stage is really big. So it's not like, well, we need the stage area. I'm sure, I don't know, but I'm sure at some point they decided we're going to make a culture change, right? And we're going to have organs
yep,
anymore.
Yep, yep.
We're
going to
have a band. So let's take the organ because it represents the past and let's get it out of here.
Okay, listen, you're a little bit older than me.
I'm a lot older than you.
So talk about that because I think you're hitting on something that we need to understand historically. There was a shift, and I don't know if we would tag this during the church growth movement or whatever, where what you're talking about became commonplace.
Oh, extremely.
Replacing. And what was kind of the rationale behind that?
I don't know. I mean, I really
like,
don't
like
know.
Like organs aren't cool,
well, the,
so let's
rationale,
get rid of
Well, the rationale
organs.
Was this. We'll lose our young people.
We'll lose our young people. They don't like organs.
Guess what? All right, you ready? You lost them anyway.
It wasn't about the organ.
It wasn't about
yeah,
the organ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You lost them anyway.
Yeah.
If taking the organ out and having praise and worship music would make sure that our churches never lost young people, then I can't tell you how many declining, dying churches I've been to, really filled with elderly people that no longer sing hymns, no longer have hymnals, no longer have an organ. They have some kind of other music going
yeah.
on. And you've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that. But I think what happened was this desire to just be contemporary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As though that was going to solve something. And of course, then we started the worship wars and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, you're right, man. For generations, literally, you know, from the early 20th century up till maybe 1980, 1990 even.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Church music was pretty much church music,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then it really evolved into something else. And the thing I'm talking about, the organ now is, obviously, with Gen Z and Gen Zero
yeah,
and all these others,
right.
they actually like older
well, dude,
instruments.
That's the thing. It's like we are just way too short-sighted
yes.
in a church. And I'm thinking, like, my kids now,
yeah,
they think the organ is, like, the coolest thing. We'll go
Absolutely.
Into these churches
yep.
with these pipe organs,
yep.
and they're like, Dad, that would be so awesome.
Yeah.
So it just shows you we're so short-sighted.
Yeah.
And it's a good example of how, I mean, what is an, I mean, let's be honest, an organ brings, like if you've ever worshiped with a true organ, it brings a weightiness to the singing.
You want to sing, you want to sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God with a full pipe organ?
Yeah.
It'll send chills up your back.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Or you can sing it with, you know, a guitar or a guy strumming
it. Not quite the same.
Not quite the same. Yeah. And also you talk about weddings, you talk about funerals, I was thinking about Easter, all those wonderful things you could use. You don't have to use the organ in every single song.
Sure.
But why rip the thing out?
Right, right.
And why take it away? And I guarantee you, if the organ's been gone for several years, there's nobody left that knows how to play it.
Yeah.
You don't have
That's true.
You don't have an organist either.
That's true.
And it's just a loss. And I just saw that beautiful Rogers organ there. And I thought, man, I wish we could get that back in. But it is a pain to put those things back together, rehook them back up. You know, why take it out? The other thing I saw in there.
Okay, yeah. What else did you see in there?
Was a pulpit.
Ooh.
I go to many dying and declining churches, or even not dying and declining, just any churches. And you look in their basement or their storerooms, and there's the pulpit. Okay, we took the organ out. We took the pulpit out. All right?
You talk to
me about the pulpit, Hallie.
Oh, man. Don't get me going on this, man. I love a good pulpit. I mean, listen, there's so many things we could say about this. One thing that's funny is when I'll go, you know, go speak places, rarely ever will you see pulpits anymore.
I know. I'll go speak and there'll be nothing.
There's now, like a round table. Usually there's a table that comes to my belly that's flat.
And that looks like they picked it up from a sale at Buffalo Wild Wings when they were selling some of their old tables, right? I'll go to a place and they'll have a huge stage that I'm preaching as a guest, and they'll have a drum cage.
Yeah.
And they'll have a whole bunch of guitar racks and a couple of keyboards and all kinds of music stands.
And then it's
time for me to preach, and I got nothing.
There's nothing there. There's
no pulpit. Can I have a music stand?
I know.
Yeah, we'll get you, or I'll say, do you have a pulpit? Yeah. You know what they normally say? We'll see if we can find. I think we can find one. Like, what?
It's kind of a burden.
What? Go ahead. Go with
no,
it.
No, it's the same way. I know. I'll get a music stand. It's like, well, I mean, part of it is you think about, I hate to say this, but when you look at just the state of preaching across the board in evangelicalism, again, praise God. I mean, I think our seminaries are doing a great job putting out expositors. But the truth is, across the board, part of what you know, historically, a pulpit signified something. This is where the word of God is being preached. This is sacred. This is God's word. This isn't, we're not just having a conversation over coffee here, right? We are proclaiming the gospel. We're heralding the gospel. And there was something, even with the architecture of a pulpit, that said, they made it pronounced. It's not about the preacher. It's about the word being preached.
But there are guys yelling at their devices right now saying, well, Jesus didn't have a pulpit. Paul didn't have a pulpit. And, you know, I get that. Or I even have a liberal church that doesn't preach the gospel has a pulpit.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I get all
that. That's true.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. I just know this. These old pulpits, man, it's funny how they're coming back, though.
Well, here, I agree.
A lot of these churches, young guys back. Going, man, let's get it out of the
and
closet.
By the way, you go to the Spurgeon Library in Kansas City, and you see his pulpit rail there, right?
Yep.
Or you see the pulpit from the Methodist church where he was converted, right? And I'm telling you, you know what took place behind that thing. I mean, I just, again, you walk into a church building, and if what you see up front is only thing you see really on the stage is a drum cage and a bunch of instruments, it tells you, well, this is all about music.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see a pulpit, I think it does say somebody's going to say something behind, at that what they used to call the sacred desk, that's very different than anything else I'm going to hear the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And I'm like you. Plus, I like to have a place to lay my Bible and my notes.
Right.
You know, again, and I don't want to think I'm just up there with, you know, a bottle of water and a stool just having
talking.
A conversation.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Okay,
we sound curmudgeon-y.
We've made a lot of people
mad.
Sound curmudgeon-y. Okay, so we found the organ in the storeroom.
Yep.
We found the pulpit. I've also found a lot of puppets in the storeroom. Maybe they need to be there.
This
I don't
is
know.
Where maybe they need to stay.
Maybe
there.
They need to stay. No, I think it just says there was a real time 20, 25 years ago when puppets were a real ministry. And some still are. Yeah. But it's amazing how many puppets I find in
those. What about, you know what we used to have here is a bell choir.
Yes.
So we had a closet for the bells.
Yeah.
Have you seen that around?
Yeah,
it was another thing. By the way, when I first came, I was like, let's revive the bell choir. And some folks, they loved it, man. Yes. And like on Christmas Eve, we had the bells.
See, the best thing about a bell choir is you don't have to be able to sing and you don't have to read music.
That's right.
I mean, anybody can participate in the bell choir. And if, and again, you can take it out on Christmas Eve. You can take it out on Easter. You can go to the nursing homes and play it. You can go.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've given up. Now, it's kind of an expensive thing. Those bells are expensive, a little hard to take care of. You got to make somebody. But it's one of those things. Look, whether it's a bell choir or if you go to a storage room, you're going to find lots and lots of old choral music, and you're going to find lots and lots of old choir ropes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the point was, there was a time when, oh, this is so good. Are you ready?
Bring it.
Doom, 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 doom.
Come on.
There was a time when the worship ministry, your church, was not six people. But maybe 40 people.
Oh, man.
Because you had a choir. Yeah. You had maybe a bell choir. You had other things. You had a whole lot of people involved. Have we really thought about kind of what's happened when, you know, we moved from a choir and and the bell choirs and the other things we had to perhaps just, you know.
Which makes sense that you would hire a full-time minister of music because they're overseeing all these different aspects of music and worship.
You did.
Which is,
but I, you know, lately I've been in some churches that have choirs, a few times. And I'm thinking, dude, I like that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people singing at me. I mean, it a choir encourages the congregation to sing because you're hearing these people sing. Plus, you're hearing the choir sing in parts.
Yeah.
So you're learning how to sing harmony from that.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think, you know, when you look at an old storeroom, you go, well, there's the choir loft. I mean, there's the choir robes and all the sheet music. And there's the organ. It's like, and there's the handbells. And, you know, maybe you had age-graded choirs. When I was growing up, we had children's choirs and youth choirs, and we'd meet on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights.
Yep.
And music was a way you would connect with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gone. And then, like you say, the pulpit is no longer there many times. It's in the storeroom. And then some other things in a storeroom probably are sometimes some of the old Royal Ambassador and GA material.
Yeah.
You might see the Royal Ambassador shield, the GA shield. You might see the RA pledge, some of the banners. So many churches today don't have what we, in Southern Baptist, Royal Ambassadors and Girls in Action, ACT Teens, those were our missions agents, missions organizations for kids, where kids learned about the Great Commission and they learned about Southern Baptist missionaries and who they were and what they did. The vast majority of new churches today do not have Royal Ambassadors and GAs. And they may have Awanas, but it doesn't really communicate the Southern Baptist mission heart, right?
Well, dude, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, I can think of several folks here in our church who they grew up. That was a big part of their growing up. And I can't help but wonder, as we're looking at the future of our denomination, talking specifically now as a Southern Baptist, how are we passing on our convictions to the next generation? Well, listen, that was huge. I don't think we even realize how big of a deal it is when we've moved away from that, kind of become more vanilla.
Yeah.
Like just every other evangelical church and given up some clear distinctives of our passion for missions with young people.
If you've got kids who grew up in your Southern Baptist church and you have to explain to them who Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon are, then
you didn't grow up with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew quickly. There was an organization, they call it Mission Friends now, but when I was a kid, it was called Sunbeams. And you had Sunbeams and then RAs and GAs. And it's still there. I mean, you can go to WMU, Women's Missionary Union, you can find that information, you can find that material. There's some churches that still do Royal Ambassadors and GAs, but it's a fraction of the number of churches it used to. And you go into many junk rooms in churches and you'll find a bunch of old RA and GA and Mission Friend stuff because they don't do that any longer.
Yep.
And that's really terribly unfortunate.
Okay, so here's a question. So practically, in light of all this whole conversation, I think one of the things we're hitting on, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is if we're using the analogy of the old junk room, there are things in that room that can be redeemed.
Absolutely.
There are some things that probably need to stay.
Absolutely. Some things need to go away.
But I think part of what's key in
the puppets need to go away.
Maybe the puppets.
And maybe the old silk flowers need to go away.
That's right.
And some of the old Christmas decorations need to go away. I mean, I get that.
Yeah. But part of when you're revitalizing a church and you're coming into this declining congregation, a huge, huge part as a pastor, elder, is you've got to win the hearts of the people. honor the past, love the past. And some of how you can do that is enter into these rooms and say, you know what, here, maybe for the last couple decades, it wasn't popular here now, but what could we bring out of this and restore it? I mean, it's like one of the things we talk about is when we replant churches here at Calvary, we have a legacy wall. We get out all the old photos, right? So here's another thing that's in that closet. Old photos from the 50s and 60s and the glory days. Well, nobody's seen those forever. Well, what if we made a wall behind the coffee that just celebrated all that God has done over the years in this church, right? There's simple ways to really glorify the Lord and to celebrate your past.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And if you're going to a church in decline that's older, or you're in a church in decline that's older, and you're trying to really connect to the older folks and get them to you know, follow your leadership. And if you don't use the pulpit, go find that pulpit, brush it off, bring it in there. And also, here's another thing that's in the junk room way too often, in my opinion, is the communion table. Generally, there's a communion table that says, you know, do this in remembrance of me. Yeah. And for years, and oftentimes, because again, we want to redo the stage, right? We don't want it to look old. Right. So we take the communion table away. We take the pulpit away. We may rebuild out the stage. Yep. We want it to look, it's like, you know, really, so often now, if you look at some Christian groups that have music online, I'm just coming out the top of my head, but like Sela and some other groups like that, and Shane and Shane, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, when they want to do a video that's really emotive about the song they're doing in a church setting, they don't pick the warehouse looking church.
No.
They pick the old looking church.
The pews.
Right? With the pews and the pulpit and the communion table. Yeah. Because it says something.
Uh-huh.
And it says something to a younger generation. Amen. That we're connected to something that's not transient, that isn't here today and gone tomorrow. It doesn't look like the rest of the culture. And I think pull some of that stuff back out because I think younger people really want to connect to that past.
Yeah.
And it looks sometimes so benign and so bland to have nothing up there that says, you know, this is a church. And even that communion table reminds us that the Lord invites us to commune with him,
Amen.
To dine.
Yes.
And one day we'll be around his banquet table. Yeah. So I just got to thinking, all that stuff in that junk room, maybe you're right.
Pull some of it back out and use it again.
It's
so good, man. Well, I love it. I love the vision. And I think also the last thing I was just going to say is everything – when we look at, like right now, as you look at your sanctuary, your worship space, everything in there is telling a theological story.
Isn't that true?
It's theological. That's the truth. What is our sanctuary, our stage saying, telling people about God?
Yeah.
You know? And that's something to think about. And I think, again, and we know, you know, there's nothing supernatural, you know, sacred, quote unquote, with space. But there's something that tells me a lot about a church based on, is there a pulpit? Is the Lord's Supper? Is the table central? What does this church think about the Last Supper and communion? And so, anyway, I just think let's look honestly at our buildings and our worship space. What story is it telling?
Right. And I think we've lost. And just to round out the old curmudgeon, all right, we might as well make it full circle here. We've lost the hymnals. Nobody has hymnals. And yet hymnals were something people could read the words. They could see the date the hymn was written. They could even, maybe if they could even begin to read some music, they'd know, could sing some parts. That's another story for another day. But that's all in the church junk room. And I'm not sure we're any better off today than we were 30 years ago.
Dude, listen, you know something fun. Here'd be a great thing. What? I'm so thankful for Jeff DeClue, his family. Jeff's with us, by the way.
Hey, today. Jeff, how are you doing? Hey, Jeff's running the board today.
Listen, they kept the hymnals.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had, over the years, different times, we just get them out and do an a cappella hymn sing. It's incredible.
Because the hymnals also have responsive readings in them.
That's right.
And that's the closest Southern Baptists ever get to liturgy.
That's right. They're there. They're in there. So get those things out.
We got to go. I know you disagree with this. We don't care. Just subscribe. We need you to subscribe. If you don't subscribe, they're going to rip us off the air. So subscribe right now and check us out. Always at your favorite platform.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.